Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so on this podcast, I talk about ideas and strategies. I share practical things. I tell stories about what worked, but also the things that didn't work. Because ultimately, I believe that teachers play a profound role in helping students reach their creative potential. And one of the things that I do a lot is interview the experts. And I am interviewing today an expert that I am really excited about. It is Damon John. Now, here's a little bit about him if you're not familiar, although there's a good chance you probably do know who he is. Damon John was born with a passion for entrepreneurship. He is the CEO and founder of FUBU, the global lifestyle brand created to represent overlooked communities. He's also the star of ABC's Emmy Award-winning TV show Shark Tank. So if you haven't seen him on that, I love that show. I'm a huge fan. And in this show, he helps entrepreneurs grow their businesses. Damon served under President Barack Obama as a presidential ambassador for global entrepreneurship and works with several philanthropic organizations to educate and empower future generations. And that includes My Brother's Keeper, Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship, and the NAACP. Damon is a New York Times best-selling author, and he has a new book out for children. Of all his accomplishments, Damon is most proud of his role as dad to his daughters. And before we get started, I just want to tell you about the book that he references in this podcast interview. It is a brand new book. It just came out about a week ago, and it is called Little Damon Learns to Earn. It's an original picture book created by Damon John and published by Penguin Random House. The story follows Little Damon and his friends as they identify the best way to afford their purchases of choice at a craft fair, starting a t-shirt business. Little Damon learns the value of creating a product, marketing it to your audience, and earning money through hard work. This book illustrates the process of starting a business, complete with a guide to financial literacy terms and how to responsibly use money. Each of the characters have a unique identifying character trait, and they have talents that young readers can identify within themselves, making it easy for those readers to relate to their goals. So without further ado, here is my interview with entrepreneur and expert Damon John. I am really excited about having you on this podcast. I've followed your work for a long time, really into your books. I listened to a podcast with you before and just found your story really inspirational. So it's really exciting to have you here.
Well, thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
So I know you were a successful entrepreneur, businessman, philanthropist. You've previously written other books. What inspired you to work on this current project?
Well, my Little Damon Learns to Earn project is really, it is out of a desire and a need that is a passion of mine. You know, I have a little six-year-old girl, and I realized that right around four, kids, they don't have any heroes anymore. Like when many of us grew up, we had Barney, or we had, and I didn't, I'm a little bit older than Barney, or maybe Dora the Explorer. But when I grew up, I had Mr. Rogers. I forgot what his name was, Steve or Bob Ross. He painted. He had Electric Company. I even had, you know, the family group. You know, they were around the house, and we all watched the Muppets. And Kermit was cool, man. Kermit was all right. Maybe you get a little wild, you got Monster or something like that. But, you know, you had people and or things to kind of want to, you know, model yourself after. But you also were taught things, right? Mm-hmm. And today, the kids are around five and below. They have all the great things on Coco Melon. They have, Peppa Pig and Daniel Tiger. But right around that, and I was watching my little girl, then you have a bunch of splintered YouTube families where it's fine. They're playing with toys and various other things, but there's no hero. mm-hmm. teaching them things. And then add that to the fact that families and kids, and we're a country of debt because we grew up with no financial intelligence or literacy because we don't know how money works. Well, now we have a bigger problem. And my little girl, I don't want to put her through that. And I want to make sure that every single year I give her things and make her more, financially intelligent, financially literate, so she can make the proper decisions in life as she grows up to be an adult. And as I started talking to our educators, they didn't have any financial, intelligence and nothing. Listen, I am not taking anything away from my educators. I think the two most underappreciated commodities in this country are a veteran and a teacher. Mm-hmm. And our teachers they're really good at math and a lot of other things. But when I was talking to my teachers, my little group that I speak to for advice, they didn't necessarily know what good debt was and bad debt. So how can the ones who are, teaching our most valuable investments, how can they not have the equipment and the knowledge they need as well? So this is my journey.
So it's interesting that you brought up, being inspired by your little girl and, what was around her. I remember when my daughter was little, we watched a lot of the similar shows, it was a lot of PBS Kids, that stuff. But it was interesting that her peer group, the favorite type of video that they all liked to watch at 5 and 6 years old were unboxing videos, which was basically the worst part of a birthday party turned into a YouTube channel, right? It's just watching people open stuff. And I was struck by, this is just purely a consumer mindset. And if I want her to be inspired to be a maker, a creator, a designer, an entrepreneur, she needs to see people make. And so it was funny that you brought up Bob Ross. We watched Bob Ross videos and she lasted about 20 minutes before she was in her bedroom with the paints out wanting to paint, or she wanted to watch videos seeing how things were made and designed. And, it reminded me, like you said, of the old, we would watch Mr. Rogers and you would see how products were made on an assembly line. And that was fascinating to me as a kid. And so I love that notion of the book being an inspiration, because it's sort of a fictional role model. Could you, for people who aren't familiar with it, could you briefly share what the book is about, kind of an overview of it?
You just nailed it on the head, and thank you for bringing that up. I mean, it is a very valid point. We've been taught to consume, whether we consume how people are dancing and how this and that, and we've also been taught, or not been taught, but what we are seeing the most of, kids want to become what they see the most. So do parents as well. But if all you see is the dancing and the singing, but you don't see the coder behind there, or the camera, or the content creator, the mother and the father balancing the checkbooks and various other things, you don't understand the work it goes into being very much of a YouTuber. And that is what the book is about. The book is about, little Damon, he loves this. My daughter happens to be named Minka, and he loves, little Damon wants to go to the concert, but he can't afford the concert, but he needs a poster of Minka, the pop star. How am I going to get a poster of Minka the pop? I don't have enough money to do that, but I do have a couple of dollars, and maybe I can get a white shirt, but wait a minute, I can't draw a paint. Oh, wait a minute. Somebody else has a skill set in here to do that. And wait a minute, how do I sell the because I can't, some other people in here know how to dance and sing, and my little crew, we all get together, but maybe this shirt works this way, that way. Wait, what do you think? So now all of a sudden we have to get together as a crew and let's open up a shop. Oh, wait, now we opened up this little stand or lemonade stand version, whatever it is. Well, you have to become, this is not just about my dream. How are you all, and how are we all benefiting off of this? And then little Damon learns to earn, but not only does little Damon learn to earn, everyone in the circle learns to earn and everyone benefits at the end of the day. I can't tell you the outcome, but I promise you all those kids aren't stuck with a bunch of inventory and our failures. I promise you at the end of the day, it works out some way or another.
It's so interesting when you say that. I'm reminded of, so much of financial literacy that's taught to kids is about, avoiding debt, which is good. There's a place for that. And, maybe creating a budget. But what I love about that story is there's social capital involved. There's community. There's working with others. And so I would love if you would share, what do you think is missing from the conversations about financial literacy?
Well, how numbers work, first of all, and how money works, because debt is not bad. There's bad debt and there's good debt. I'm not the first person to talk about this. I mean, you know, I learned from Rich Dad Poor Dad or Jim Cramer, you know, various other things. But, you know, basically the theory is that good debt is when somebody pays your bills and bad debt is when you pay the bills, right? You buy a piece of property or something else and you pay $1,000 mortgage and somebody rents it and gives you $1,200 a month. They are paying for all your bills, you know, and bad debt is things that don't appreciate. You know, I grew up in a community where we didn't know the difference of a bank and a check cash in place, but check cash in place was taking an average. If you really look at the processing of taking out money orders and other things, they're taking an average of 6%. Now, 6% of your entire paycheck over the course of a year, that's a lot of money. When a bank would do it for free, but you don't think about it because you only think 7.5%, 1%, 2%. You don't think in the ways that, you know, most people that understand how finance works. So, compounding interest, what a tax is for, and various other things. Credit scores, we go off of credit, but nobody understands, you know, the 30, 30, 30, and, you know, when it comes to credit. So it's the process on how money works. So there's a great saying, if you know about interest, you'll earn it. If you don't know, you'll pay it.
Ooh, I love that. That's a really great point. You know, one of the other themes that comes up is this idea of, you know, thinking like an entrepreneur. And I am curious, how would you define an entrepreneurial mindset? What does that look like for kids?
Yeah, an entrepreneurial mindset is exactly what a kid was born with. A kid was only told, though, no, no. You know, they say a kid hears an average 300 no's to one yes. An entrepreneurial mindset is a parent. You know, an entrepreneurial, taking nothing away from a dad. Mm-hmm. You know who's an entrepreneur? A mother. Somebody who risked their life to bring somebody into the world, and I don't care how many books you read, it ain't going to show you how to raise this child. You're going to have to figure it out. If you have to show up at the emergency room 3 times in 1 week because of an ear infection, you don't give your child up for an adoption. I mean, Kevin O'Leary would. We're not talking about Kevin at the moment. You figure it out, right? And that's an entrepreneurial mindset. It's act, learn, and then repeat and learn more wisely. It's take affordable steps, right? That's how, entrepreneurs think. So it is really applying that, but because we grew up in a day and age where we see success, but we only see the sizzle reel and not the blooper reel, and we don't see the process. Like you just said, we are seeing the sizzle reel. Open the box, look at this present. Mm-hmm. Well, why did you get the present, right? How was the present made? How much you pay for the present? You know, mm-hmm. What are you going to do with the present? You know, it is a process. And once a child's mind is amazing, once a child starts unraveling this information and they understand, I grew up in a community where there were no heroes. We didn't see people that looked like me on TV. So who did we see as the heroes and entrepreneurs? Well, who's not working at 3:00 in the afternoon when you get out of school? The drug dealers. So then you look at the drug dealers and you want to aspire to be like them. You become what you think about most of the time. So that's the ones with the fancy cars and the fans driving around. But the real heroes are waking up at 5:00 in the morning and going to work and coming home at 7:00 at night and cooking for their kids and doing it all over again. And when they had time, they weren't driving by. They were furthering their education someplace. Right. So, you know, you want people now to see, because we have access now, the walls are broken down, and we want kids to see the process of this stuff so they can make better decisions and understand they can sell pencils and make just as money as selling drugs, and they don't got to look over their back.
You know, it's interesting as you were describing that and then kind of hearing what your children's book is about. You know, there's this element of being an entrepreneur that also involves being self-directed, right? Are you a self-starter? Are you a self-manager? And I'm curious, as you think about that and being a dad and raising your own daughter, what are some things that parents and teachers can do to get students to be more self-directed or to get their kids to be a little more self-directed?
Well, you know, I don't have all the answers, and that's why I have a group, a massive group of educators that I talk to and help me, because kids process information different ways, right? But I'll give you an example. You know, my daughter and I, she's six, and every year we open up her piggy bank, and you know, we put money in, and I match how much money she makes, and we put money in three different slots. And I explain to her, like I would explain to any adult, when $3 comes in, the first dollar you pay what you must pay. And I explain that to her, taxes, or I don't tell her the taxes that you pay for. You help mommy and daddy, but these are the things that you must pay. Number two, you do the second dollar, you invest. You put it into something that the money will work for you, not you working for the money. And then number three, you buy what you would like to have, what you don't have to have. Unfortunately, most people use number three as number one, and they never get to number two.
Yeah.
And what I showed her, and it happened this, because I did it every New Year's, and it happened this year. And we showed her what to do with number one. We put that away. Number two, she went and bought to Michael's. She went and bought a bunch of the glasses, the little bottles, and now she runs around on the shore and puts seashells in them. And then she now sells them to people or gives them to a charity to make somebody happy. But number three was really important to her. She always wanted a fish. And we said to her that what money buys you is freedom. If mommy and daddy or the government or anybody does not have an objection to it, you don't have to wait for your birthday. You don't have to wait to open a box and see it's a surprise. You get exactly what you desire. And that right there was the key to her wanting to make more money. But the only way that she can make more money is to solve somebody's problem or bring somebody joy. That's the only way. If you clean up the house and you've solved my problem because I gotta leave, you make money. If you bring me joy, you'll make money. If you feel good about something, you're gonna make somebody feel great about it. And as I unravel that, now she understands the process. But at the end of the day, she's thinking about now a hamster, a gerbil. Before you know it, I'm gonna have a donkey running around the house. But that is the process. And kids are very, very simple, but they're resilient when they really start, and her mind starts to unravel.
You know, it's interesting as you describe that. And you think about as kids get older, right? They might not necessarily become entrepreneurs, but they will need to think like entrepreneurs, right? They're going to have to be problem solvers. They're going to have to be creative. They're going to have to take initiative. They're going to have to get over their fears, all of these big critical things. And I think about the world and how unpredictable it has felt in the last couple of years. I'm looking at AI and seeing how it's disrupting all these different industries. And it really feels like the formula we were taught when we were younger, this is certainly what I was taught, was you go to school, you work really hard, you go to college, and then you climb a corporate ladder, right? And it worked for my dad. He worked 35 years at the same company, grew up poor, ended up upper middle class, did well for himself, right? But it feels like that ladder is gone, and now you have this maze that students are going to have to navigate. And it's only getting more complex and more confusing. So if we think about that reality, what do you think are some of the skills that students will need to navigate that maze?
You hit it right on. You know, the lesson that we learned as children, we were in the industrial age, and some people were in the ag age, right? The agricultural age. And the reason why schools were set up that way, where you learn shop and you learn various other trades, is because our parents and our grandparents came from a time when the industrial age was thriving. Maybe one parent can stay at home because, you know, of, you know, what kind of standards we were on, and the government could take care of you later on. And yes, you can do exactly what your father did. And thank God he was able to have a steady life and do exactly what he did. But today we're in the information age, and the information age means that you are only as good as the amount of information you have, and that you can mine the information. And today's kids don't need shop. Today's kids need financial intelligence, because if we look at the data, a kid graduating college today, 50% of them will retire with a job title that doesn't actually exist today. That's like telling somebody 20 years ago that you will be a drone operator or a social media expert or a pay-per-click manager or content manager. What are you talking about? But if they don't have any financial intelligence and at 16 to 17 years old, by the time they get 16 to 17 years old now, they can go into debt for $600,000 to $700,000 of debt that they won't be able to pay off till they're 45, 50 years old. Then what are we doing? Right. So a person today needs to be more of a problem solver, the information and data they come in. Entrepreneurial thinking is actually executed way more with executives, with people who have to navigate. You see, I can fire my boss. I don't have my clients. I don't have to get up today, but you can't fire your client. And if you think entrepreneurial thinking is not used, well, let's look at Jeff Bezos. You know, I think he's doing okay these days. You know, when everything melted, you know what he said? He said, you know what? I'm one of the top shippers in the world. I can't get boxes over to everybody. My clients are upset. My workers, they need extra money. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell every single one of my workers that they can take boxes and packages home after work and make extra money. So what did they do? Well, he reduced his shipping costs. He increased the amount of staff he had because they knew they can make more money. He guaranteed even further that the box would get delivered because it was delivered by a trusted person and the end customer got more boxes than anybody else. That's called entrepreneurial thinking, you know, and you can do it at the highest level, at the lowest level.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you so much. I'm really appreciate your time. I'm really excited about the book. It's coming out in March. And so we'll have some details about that as well. Any final thoughts that you have in terms of, you know, if someone is a K-12 teacher, if they're working in the classroom and they're saying, this sounds great, but how do I get financial literacy? How do I get entrepreneurial thinking into, you know, what I'm actually doing? What's a small piece of advice that you would give to them?
You have to learn it yourself first. And it is a constant, you know, entrepreneurial thinking and finance is a constant process. And when I speak to children as well as adults, they say, I don't know where to go. Well, you know, I first learned when I almost went bankrupt 3 times. I started watching Jim Cramer. I'll be very honest. Mm-hmm. I started reading books. But I'll tell you how to learn. Put 50 different sites that concentrate on and or finance and teach you like dummies guides. Put that on your social media feed. The same way you have 50 people dancing and telling stupid jokes, 50 people cooking things and 50 people doing whatever the case is. Put that on your feed and see what happens. You start scrolling. You start seeing. You start thinking. The things that you become more. And I think that is one way you can do it. But you have to want to do it. Right, because I'll give you an example. This is not about a book to me. This is about, you know, I'm gonna, you know, next, you know, whether a business works out or not with me, if this business works out that I'm in right here, you know, whatever this is, right? I'll close it up, and if I close it up within 3 years, I can get a 50% tax write-off because the government allows me to do that after 3 years. After that, they say it's no longer a hobby. I don't know if I'm gonna be in business or not. But let me tell you something. Next year, my little girl is gonna be 7. What am I gonna teach her? The following year, she's gonna be 8, 9, 10. This is where I'm going with this. And it's unfortunate the people that need these books the most can't afford them. So I'm not here to sell them. I don't care. It's not about making money. So what am I doing now? I'm showing up in schools virtually or various other things and having corporations and or people get, you know, get Damon John to keynote for them because they're donating to the favorite school in their neighborhood. And they're going to make sure the books go through the local retailer in their neighborhood. And hopefully I'll get educational, you know, charitable organizations so the person could donate the money there. And it is a 50% write-off. So this is not about me selling books. This is about me educating my little girl because I'm going to need her to want to, you know, to be able to be somebody who has this financial intelligence because daddy may get hit by a bus, you know, in another 4 or 5 or 10 years. We know life is too short. So this is my journey and it ain't about money at all.
Right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the chat. Appreciate you getting on this podcast and talking to educators.
Thank you. And thank you for what you do.
So there you have it. That was Damon John. I hope you got as much out of that interview as I got from that conversation as well. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever it is that you get your podcast? Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.